For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are closing in on the NFL draft. We have a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about an hour or so, we're going to be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. We're also going to be joined by the lead draft analyst over at CBS Sports. Mike Renner is going to be on the show in the 4 o'clock hour. The Royals are back in town today. They play the Colorado Rockies. We will certainly get you ready for that series because you got to throw out the records. When you get a Royals and Rockies series like we have coming up this week at Kauffman Stadium. We'll get to it in just a bit. But before we get to any of that, I want to remind you guys to come out and hang out with us at the Landing in Liberty on Thursday. We're going to be watching round one of the NFL draft. I also want to remind you guys to listen to the show every day at 2 o'clock. And if you could do me a favor and tell one friend, I would greatly appreciate it. So yesterday, after talking to Matt Miller, it reminded me of something that Brett Veach said. Now, I'll play both of these things for you, but let's start with Brett Veach, who talked about wanting to add more weapons for this team at running back and wide receiver.
You're a few bad weeks away from having no depth at all. I mean, I know I've always said the story a few years back of that defensive end position where we had a 2 or 3 week span where we lost multiple guys. And, you know, last year, Pacheco got hurt early on, and I mean, we always want to surround Pat with playmakers, and you know, the more talented wideouts you can throw on the field at one time is something important to us, and depth at running back, and look, this kickoff role too. I mean, ideally, you know, it would be advantageous for us to identify a receiver and or running back that has explosive playmaking ability on both ends. Remigio did a great job, but again, we're always pushing the envelope to get 1% better. And if we can add another dynamic element to both return phases, that would be something that would make sense. So it's not just wanting to continue to add explosive playmaking at the running back or the receiver position. It's also the return game.
As I was thinking back to this quote from Brett Veach, there was a player that popped in my head. It's Missouri wide receiver Luther Burden. If you are looking for a dynamic weapon in the passing game, I think he might be the best player in this draft with the ball in his hand and his ability to turn small plays into big plays. If you are looking for a wide receiver that could also help you in the return game, he sounds like someone that could help you. And it got me thinking that we have talked a lot about this team thinking to the trenches, whether it is the offensive line or the defensive line. Matt Miller said that yesterday, that he expects this team to be looking at the line of scrimmage in round one.
I would love for it to be Luther Burden. I'd be happy with a tight end, you know, like a Mason Taylor at that spot. I'd be happy with a speedy edge rusher. But when we get back to how this team normally drafts, I'm with you. It's probably going to be a defensive lineman, probably going to be a defensive tackle, unless one of those offensive tackles falls. But, you know, I don't know, man. Last time they lost the Super Bowl, they got aggressive and a lot changed in a hurry. And we didn't see that through free agency. So maybe we see it in the draft, you know, with four picks in the top 95. Maybe we see some aggressive movement. I had heard 2 weeks ago that they were at least interested in moving up. You know, the last time they were interested in moving up was the Rashee Rice draft when no one would trade with them when they wanted to move up. So we will see what happens.
I think that Brett Veach has sort of built a reputation on being aggressive. He has built a reputation on being somebody who was going to wheel and deal and move up and try to make something shake, whether it's in free agency or the NFL draft. I think you could call the Chiefs offseason a lot of things. I don't think that you could use the term aggressive in how they've handled free agency. It's been business as usual. They have retained a lot of their players. And I'm not saying that's a bad strategy, but it is certainly not aggressive. I would say going for a playmaker, and it doesn't have to be Luther Burden, would be the most aggressive thing that they have done this offseason. Yesterday, we talked about looking ahead and playing sort of the redshirt game, that you could do that with an offensive lineman. But what if, and follow me here, if the Chiefs are looking for a more immediate contribution from their first-round draft pick, and they will deal with right tackle or left tackle next year when it is their most pressing and number one need. Heading into this season, left tackle and right tackle are not needs for the 2025 team. They could be for the 2026 team and beyond, but they know who their left tackle is going to be for this upcoming season. They know who their right tackle is going to be for this upcoming season. What if they are thinking about handling this year's draft and doing what Brett Veach said, getting more explosive? We talked about their need to go get a running back, but what if they are also thinking about wide receiver? There's two wide receivers to me that make sense with where the Chiefs are going to be drafting. For whatever reason, the shine is coming off of Luther Burden, and there's multiple reasons why I think that could be. But we are talking about a player who dominated the SEC in his sophomore season and heading into this past year was viewed to be the best wide receiver on the board. I don't think that's how he's viewed right now. He might be the second or third wide receiver on the board, probably closer to the third. I think that McMillan is going to go ahead of him. I also think that Matthew Golden out of Texas is also going to go ahead of Luther Burden. What about Emeka Egbuka, who has dominated college football the last handful of years? He had a great game a couple of years ago in the Rose Bowl. He is a guy that has won national championships, a guy that has played in a lot of high-level football, and I think has the ability to step in day one and help an NFL roster. As we are getting ready for Thursday in round one of the NFL draft, we've talked a lot about what if they go offensive or defensive line, but you just heard it yesterday from Matt Miller. Some of the top offensive line prospects might be off the board. They're now talking about Kelvin Banks being a top 10 pick. Joshua Simmons might be off the board at that point. If you want them to go edge rusher, that might not be a possibility at 31. So if you were trying to get round one value, maybe round one value for this organization is at wide receiver. Maybe it's at Luther Burden, who is probably one of the 10 most talented players in this year's draft class, but could fall. What if it is Emeka Egbuka that you can't trade back in this year's draft class? You got to make a selection at 31. You don't think the value is there on the offensive or defensive line. So where I think the value could best serve this team, Rob, it could be at wide receiver and taking one of those very good college receivers. You now throw them into the mix and you also could play the short term and the long term game. You have had Hollywood Brown on back-to-back one-year deals. Is he coming back for the 2026 season? We don't have that answer yet. But if you are moving forward with an offense that is centered around a running back draft pick that you are going to make at some point over this weekend, a wide receiver that you pick up in round one, whether it's a Luther Burden, whether it's Egbuka out of Ohio State, you then couple that with the other draft picks that you've made, Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, you've really got a very strong nucleus, I would say, of offensive line talent under the age of 30, and you are also building an explosive offense centered around guys who are still on their rookie deal. What if the Chiefs don't view offensive line as maybe the need that we deem it to be, and they're thinking about getting more explosive, trying to get more home run hitters, trying to have a more dynamic and balanced offense than they had last season?
I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. I don't think the Chiefs view round one that way at all. You said it there perfectly. You said the Chiefs have no pressing needs for 2025, but in 2026, they could potentially need a new left tackle, and they will likely, under unforeseen circumstances, need a new right tackle. Those are things we know. Do you know what they're not going to need in 2026? Wide receiver one, wide receiver two. We know those guys are under contract and on the roster in 25 and in 26. So I think the Chiefs are going to be aggressive with depth and think about 2026 and attack the trenches. Let's flip the other side of the ball. Let's look at the defensive line. Where are places that are going to become glaring needs for them in 2026? Because it's not like Aminu who is signed long-term. I believe Mike Dana signed a three-year deal. He's going into the year two of it, so he'll be going into the final year of his contract next year. Do you and I think they're picking up a fifth-year option on Felix? Not really. Next to Chris Jones, they have Mike Pinnell, who has value. I'm not trying to run down Mike Pinnell, but it's not like he's some dynamic, can't-miss playmaker. And then they lost Tershawn Wharton. They've lost Colin Saunders over the years. They need another body on the interior. I think you're going to see the Chiefs think to 2026. And when you look at their 2026 roster, they have holes on the trenches. So I'd love a playmaker. You'd love a playmaker. Joe Schmo on the text line love a playmaker, because adding Xavier Worthy or Luther Burden is more exciting than Joshua Simmons. I just don't think that's happening on Thursday. Maybe we can have that conversation Monday, because on Friday night they had a playmaker. But I don't think when we're singing the landing in Liberty, we're going to be talking about, wow, can you believe the Chiefs added an explosive, dynamic playmaker? I think you're going to be talking about, hey, they got a redshirt lineman.
And I certainly think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that is probably the most likely outcome of this. But I do think, just given where the Chiefs select, you're not very interested in moving up in this year's draft class. And we can talk more about that coming up on the other side of the why. And maybe the value's not there to trade up to 22 or 21 in this year's draft class. So if you're picking there at 31 and you didn't see the value to move up, maybe the pick that you have on the offensive or defensive line is just not going to grade out to be a first round player at the positions of need that you think. I think you and I are on the same page. I do think the Chiefs are going to draft an offensive lineman at some point. I also think they need to pick up an edge rusher. I think the conversation we're having right now is, are they going to do that in round one? I still think it is most likely that they are going to go on the offensive or defensive line, but I think there's a chance that they kind of could see the value at wide receiver. And if this draft class is going to kind of push some of those wide receivers down, I think taking Luther Burden at 31, that is a for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think taking Emeka Egbuka at 31 for the Chiefs is an A. You were talking about very productive college receivers, guys who have played at high levels in the SEC and the Big Ten, and you think could instantly come in and help you and build a very balanced wide receiver room with three guys under the age of 25 that I think should be very, very attractive to Kansas City. Coming up on the other side, I want to play something for you guys that Todd McShay had to say. Todd McShay doesn't think that there is great value in this draft. We'll play it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back into the show. I want to play this piece of audio for you guys. This is from Todd McShay. This goes along with a conversation that we were having yesterday about the Chiefs potentially trying to trade up. Before we play Todd McShay, I want to replay Matt Miller for you guys because he expects the Chiefs to draft an offensive or defensive lineman in round one.
I would love for it to be Luther Burden. I'd be happy with a tight end, you know, like a Mason Taylor at that spot. I'd be happy with a speedy edge rusher. But when we get back to how this team normally drafts, I'm with you. It's probably going to be a defensive lineman, probably going to be a defensive tackle, unless one of those offensive tackles falls. But, you know, I don't know, man. Last time they lost the Super Bowl, they got aggressive and a lot changed in a hurry. And we didn't see that through free agency. So maybe we see it in the draft, you know, with four picks in the top 95. Maybe we see some aggressive movement. I had heard 2 weeks ago that they were at least interested in moving up. You know, the last time they were interested in moving up was the Rashee Rice draft when no one would trade with them when they wanted to move up. So we will see what happens.
Yes, we will see what happens with the Chiefs and how they're going to handle round one, which is coming up on Thursday. Highly encourage you guys to stop by and watch the draft with us on Thursday at the Landing in Liberty. So there is an ESPN sort of hypothetical trade scenario that the Chiefs would move up from 31. They'd move to 24. They would trade their own third round pick. They also would trade a future fourth round pick to do so. Rob is not in favor of it. He doesn't see the value in this year's draft and trading up with offensive line. Todd McShay of The Ringer, he agrees.
People in the other draft rooms are like, pew, 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 yes, yes.
Right.
Because, yeah, go ahead, take Tet. Take Will Campbell. Because right. I'm talking to teams, and they don't, like, Tet and Will aren't sniffing the very top where we've got other guys. Obviously, Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. But now we got a quarterback who's in not a great quarterback class that no one else is really worried about. Now we've got a wide receiver in not a great wide receiver class that nobody else is really worried where he goes. Okay? Now we got an offensive tackle and a tackle class. I told you, talking to NFL people, fifth or sixth offensive tackle a year ago. Okay? Quarterback would have been fifth or sixth last year. Offensive tackle would have been fifth or sixth last year. Wide receiver would have been sixth last year.
Todd McShay is telling you and echoing the sentiment from almost everybody that covers this year's draft class. There's not a lot of high-end talent in this year's draft class. I think basically once you get outside of Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, I think that might be where the star power in this year's draft sort of ends. Now, that's not saying there won't be good players from this. It's not saying the draft people won't be wrong, because they will certainly be wrong about some prospects. But usually when every draft person is saying the same thing, there's a lot of truth to it. We've seen that when it comes to quarterback drafts. Hey, this isn't a good class. This isn't a good class. This isn't a good class. Then 5 years later, we look back and we think, oh, maybe they all knew what they were talking about. Rob, maybe you are right in that the value in trying to trade up for an offensive tackle just isn't there this year. If you were telling me that Will Campbell, who a lot of people are projecting to be the fourth overall pick to the New England Patriots, if you were telling me that a top five pick in this year's draft class would have been the sixth or seventh best offensive lineman last year, that tells me that they are not very high on this tackle class at all. From a wide receiver perspective, McMillan was a great college receiver. You're telling me that last year he would have been behind Romo Odunze. He would have been behind Malik Nabers. He would have been behind all of those guys, and he would have been the fourth or fifth wide receiver taken, and we think he could go 12 this year, maybe to the Cowboys. I do think they're trying to tell you something about this year's draft class and maybe trying to take a swing to move up in this year's class. Maybe that's not the right decision because the quality of the prospect is not going to be there to justify the compensation to move up to go get that player.
I feel like me and Todd McShay are in unison here. I feel like I've been saying that back here for a long time. I agree with you in any other draft with that thing ESPN laid out yesterday. Yeah, I would trade based on the draft pick compensation and the sheets and the breakdowns. I would have done that. If Joe Thomas was in this draft, or hey, let's use Armand Membo, for example. He's a Mizzou guy. I think he's going to be a good NFL player. If this was any other draft, is Armand Membo a top five, top 10 pick?
Probably not.
Probably not. That's the kind of guy that's probably available at 19, 20, 21, 22 in a normal offensive line draft. That's the kind of guy where if it's a normal offensive line draft and ESPN laid out that trade scenario, I'd be back here saying, yes, go up and get Membo at 21. But that's not the case for this year. Membo's gone in the top 10. Will Campbell, who you just heard Tom McShay say that he's hearing teams don't even have him at the top of their board, he's going to go in the top 15. Some people think he's going to go top 5. I know I come off as I got a hoard picks forever guy, but I think through the vacuum of this year, I think Brett Veach needs to, for the first time in a long, long time on draft night, hold your water. Matt Miller said it on the show yesterday. He said the line between prospect 40 and 14 is pretty marginal in this year's draft. So do not be spending assets to go up and get a guy that you think is only marginally better than a guy you can go back and get, especially at offensive line. Joshua Simmons is flawed. Connerly is flawed. Like, the guys available are flawed, so let's not get aggressive and reach and create an expectation for a guy that we think's just solid. That's how I would treat the draft on Thursday.
Now, I will say this. If that belief holds, what you just said there, then I don't think it's realistic to think that Kansas City is then trading back in the draft.
you're probably not going to be able to pick up that value unless Sanders falls and Jackson Dart falls. Now, could this be a scenario how the Ravens got Lamar Jackson? You remember, Jackson was falling in that draft class. The Ravens then moved back into the first round to get the fifth-year option to take their quarterback. Now, I like Shadur, not a huge fan of Jackson Dart. I don't think that either one of them are the prospect level that Lamar Jackson was coming out of Louisville. But is there going to be a team that is looking at Kansas City in 31? They feel like maybe they need to get ahead of the Cleveland Browns, who have the 33rd overall pick, the first pick in the second round, and they need to jump ahead of them and get the value from Kansas City, and Kansas City is willing to move back. I don't think that Kansas City is going to have a very easy time moving back in this year's draft class. I think a lot of people are going to view the draft the way that you view it. Why are we giving up these extra assets and these extra picks to take a guy that maybe last year on our board we would have had at 51, and now we're going to move up to take him at 31 this year? The value's not there. My biggest worry for Kansas City is what I think they are targeting and what I think they need. I'm not sure if that's going to be there for them at 31. There is, I would say, a range of three offensive linemen that I think makes sense for the Chiefs in round one. I'm not sure if all three of those guys are going to be there. If you want this team to add pass rush, I'm not sure if that player is going to be there. And what I don't want them to do, I would say that this is the worst thing that they could possibly do, is pigeonhole themselves in feeling like they got to take an offensive lineman to be prepared for if Jalen Moore doesn't live up to expectations, and also preparing themselves for when Juwan Taylor is off the team and feel like you got to take somebody on the offensive or defensive line. Because kind of how we got here is pigeonholing yourself in that. Back when the Chiefs drafted Felix Onyedike Uzomah, you know who the first skill position player on the board was that was selected right after Felix? It was Sam Laporta. The Chiefs would be in a better spot if they had drafted Sam Laporta instead of drafting Felix Onyedike. They'd be in a better spot. Their offense would be in a better spot if they had made that pick. So that's why, at least when it comes to this, if you don't see the value in the trenches, and Simmons is off the board, Connerly is off the board, you look at the edge rushers, and those guys are off the board, then I want them to take a very talented skill position player and go make it work. And that's why we led the show talking about Burden and Egbuka, two guys who, certainly Egbuka, I think he is going to be on the board at 31. I would be surprised if he was off the board. Now, Burden, it could be all smoke, and he ends up going 22nd overall, and he ends up being a surefire first-round pick. I don't think Egbuka is going to be off the board. He feels like kind of like what Felix was. Felix could have went 31 overall to Kansas City. He did go 31 overall, or he could end up going 47th overall, and he falls a little bit in the second round. I could see Emeka Egbuka being one of those kind of prospects. I could see him going 31 to Kansas City. I could see him going 51 to the New Orleans Saints, just because of how up and down the draft process can be if you're going to be a fringe first-round pick but an early second-round prospect.
I feel like, and this is the difficult spot the Chiefs are going to be in 2 days. And I don't think it's unique to the Chiefs. I think the whole league's in this position. What you just said about Egbuka, I think applies to like 7 to 10 prospects in the NFL draft. Like the kid from Arizona, Tet McMillan. Everyone's calling him Tet. I'm not going to try his full first name. Tet. I could see a scenario where he goes 31 of the Chiefs. He's a big-bodied receiver.
I think he's going to be off the board by then.
I could see him going to 25. But could you see a scenario where, like, oh, he's like T. Higgins and falls into the second round early day two? Like, I could see that for McMillan. I could see that for Egbuka. I think there are players in the running back class that I could see rising up and being a third running back in day one. I could also see teams being heavy positional value and Amarian Hampton falling into round two. I think there is a weakness of – there's a lack of star power, and maybe weakness is a poor term, but just a lack of juice among so many of these guys that what you said about Egbuka, where he could be picked 25 or 45, I feel like that's the range for like a half dozen different guys because there is no consensus anywhere.
So yesterday on the show, we went back and we played some draft reactions to some of the first round picks that the Chiefs have made. We're going to do something very similar today. We're going to go back in time and play the draft grades that were given out for these respective drafts. The first one we'll play is the 2019 draft. Here's what CBS Sports felt about that draft class.
The Chiefs are the only team in the AFC West to get anything below a B-. They get a C+. They did trade away a first-round pick for Frank Clark, and they took a really speedy wide receiver in the second round.
Yeah, he can fly, and I understand in their offense with what's going on with Tyreek Hill, he might not be there, that you got to look for speed outside, but I think he's raw. I think there were better options on the board when they picked him. I love the Thornhill pick. He's perfect for what you want in the NFL safety. He's a former corner and moved inside, has the range you want back there. Saunders is a big power defensive lineman. The rest of the draft I did not love, but I think the two and three, you know, the second and third picks that they had there, very good job on those picks.
So going back to 2019, this was the 2019 Chiefs draft. If you remember, the Chiefs didn't have a first-round pick that year because they used that draft pick to help them go get Patrick Mahomes. Seems like very important context. Certainly, you would make that trade 10 times over. In fact, you would have given the Buffalo Bills your 2020, 2021, and 2022 first-round pick if you had known that things were going to go for Patrick Mahomes the way that they have. So the Chiefs had six draft selections that year. They drafted Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, Colin Saunders, Rashad Fenton, Darwin Thompson, and Nick Allegretti. Rob, now in hindsight, you just heard the draft grade that was given out back in 2019. Now that we have the ability to hindsight, what draft class or what grade would you have given this 2019 class? Hardman, Thornhill, Saunders, Fenton, Thompson, and Nick Allegretti.
So I do think context is important. Actually, you had your draft backward. That's not the Mahomes draft pick in the first round. That's Frank Clark. That's the Frank Clark
first-round
draft.
You're right.
So,
you're right.
So you got to maybe you're the kind of person that puts Frank Clark as part of the draft class. I'm not that person, but if you want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah, because Mahomes got drafted in 17, so 18 would have been the first-round pick. My bad.
No problem. I think Pete Prisco, who is he still a villain in Kansas City? Pete Prisco was a villain in Kansas City for a while. I don't know how that all shook out. Doesn't matter. Pete Prisco, I think, nailed it. Even with the advantage of hindsight, I think he nailed it. Mecole Hardman can fly, and I get why you like him as a prospect, but he's raw. That's exactly what Mecole Hardman was his entire tenure in Kansas City. He could fly, but boy, he showed that he was raw at times. Juan Thornhill, when healthy, was a good safety for this team. I get why they walked on him, but he was a good player. Colin Saunders was a good player in the final year's deal, but, you know, worth the risk in a third-round pick. And from there, it's a lot of just meh. I know Darwin Thompson was in that draft class. He had the greatest St. Joe season of all time, but that does feel like a C+ kind of draft. Even if you add in Frank Clark, who I think never lived up to the contract, that feels like Pete Prisco nailed it.
Going back and thinking about Mecole Hardman's draft pick, it's hard to kind of believe that this player was drafted in the second round. I mean, Mecole Hardman in his two seasons at wide receiver had 59 catches for 950 yards and 11 touchdowns and wasn't very involved in their run game. Now, you remember, he got to college as a running back. They converted him to wide receiver, and he was fine. It is a little surprising to me that a team used a second-round pick who really was a project at the position and maybe never took to it fully the way that you had anticipated. That I do think Mecole Hardman, and obviously there are exceptions to the rule, but I think this happens more time than not. Man, you got to take good college players. And I think maybe an example of why Xavier Worthy has had more success early on in his career is, and Xavier Worthy was a very good college receiver that now you were trying to get him to translate and get that skill set, and he is just starting at a much higher ceiling than that. If you want to put it into context, I mean, Xavier Worthy had more yards in his last season at Texas than Mecole Hardman had his entire time at Georgia. That's not taking his sophomore season or his freshman season into account. Xavier Worthy, as a freshman at Texas, had 981 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns. Xavier Worthy was a really good college receiver that has translated into being a very good NFL receiver. Round two is usually just not where you take projects, and I feel like the Chiefs sometimes really look for a certain type. And Mecole Hardman is the type. Quick, fast, can use him in the jet sweep, can use him in the screen game, but I just don't think that he ever really had those wide receiver skills that you really like, and they thought he was going to develop them in the NFL, and just never happened.
It is a what if we'll never, ever get the answer to. But I do wonder a what if with the drama surrounding Tyreek Hill at the time. Would Brett Veach have gone DK Metcalf or made a move to get up and get DK Metcalf over Mecole Hardman. Because that has shrouded Hardman's entire Chiefs career. The fact that DK Metcalf is, and me and you earlier this offseason disagreed on what he is as an NFL player, but he is a consistent top 30, just a like nice wide number, wide receiver in the NFL. Mecole Hardman has never been that. I wonder if there isn't off-the-field drama and off-the-field speculation about a potential suspension, length of suspension, all the stuff that was surrounding that draft with Tyreek Hill and the KCTV 5 tape. If all those things didn't exist, would Brett Veach have said, I already have my 5-0 twitchy, fast, 100-pound something wide receiver. Let's be different. Let's go DK. I'll never know the answer, but it's, I always wonder how much impact Tyreek Hill's off the field life impacted that draft class. Because at that time, now maybe you, I don't know the timeline of you getting all the information for the Tyreek Hill tape, but at that time, the, you know, general wisdom was something bad is going to happen to Tyreek Hill in the league suspension wise.
Yeah. And to me though, I think this is just a flawed logic that sometimes I think the Chiefs have specifically looked for a type. Someone on the text line says, you guys forget that this is the year that Tyree got in trouble. His future was uncertain and they needed a fast guy. No, they didn't. You don't need a under 6 foot, 180-pound converted running back that wasn't a dynamic college player. You do not need that player, especially when, if you look back, can I read to you the wide receivers that got drafted in round two? These were the wide receivers that got drafted in round two that year. Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, Mecole Hardman, D.K. Metcalf. So three very good college receivers and a project. Mecole Hardman shouldn't have been a second-round draft pick in hindsight. Mecole Hardman is the prototypical third- or fourth-round pick. There is one trait that you really like about him. You feel like, hey, we're going to take a little bit of a chance here. You can't teach speed. We're going to take a little bit of a flyer, and we're going to see if we can convert him. I just think he was a player that now in hindsight, I mean, he was a top 60 pick. I just don't think he should have been a top 60 pick if you were looking at the way that that year kind of turned itself out. But, I mean, I would say if you're looking at the rest of that draft class, Thornhill turned out to be a good player in the NFL. Colin Saunders has turned out to be a good player in the NFL. And Nick Allegretti is still a starter at this point as a seventh-round pick. I think in hindsight, this is probably a B to B-minus draft now with the information going back. Mecole Hardman is an NFL player, but never really materialized into being a guy who was worthy of the 56th overall pick. Thornhill is a legitimate starter in this league. So is Colin Saunders, and so is Nick Allegretti. I would say that this is a B-minus draft now, what, 6 years, 7 years later?
So you don't hold the fact that all those NFL starting caliber players that they drafted aren't starting in Kansas City even a little bit against them? Like, we're on the same page about Mecole. Colin Saunders was a one-and-done contract guy and really only had one good year in Kansas City. He's a starting NFL player, but he's somewhere else now, not because he got the super bag, but because he went somewhere else. Juan Thornhill, I get it was partly because of injury. He's starting somewhere else, or I guess at last check he was. I know he and the Browns were having issues contract-wise. Maybe he got as a cut, I don't know. And then, I don't recall offhand, and then Nick Allegretti is starting games in Washington. Now, again, he's a capable starter, but it's in Washington. You don't hold even a little bit against the Chiefs. The three guys they drafted are starting in three different locations when you're regrading?
No, I don't, because I would say Thornhill became a positive starter for Kansas City. Saunders was a positive starter for Kansas City, and so was Nick Allegretti. In a year in which you didn't have a first-round pick and you traded it for a player who was very instrumental in you winning the Super Bowl, I don't really know if you were going to really knock this draft out of the park. I think you got a solid draft. I think a B is very, very fair. And now thinking about this, just looking at the text line, when it comes to Tyreek, the one reason why I don't let the Chiefs off the hook for the drafting of Mecole because of everything that was happening with Tyreek is they weren't going to cut him. Right? I mean, at that point, all of the information was out there. If the Chiefs were going to cut him, we would have known very, very quickly if they were going to cut him or not. We were waiting to see more so if there was going to be a suspension involved with Tyreek Hill more so than anything. And I think you would have to say, at least quietly behind the scenes, the Chiefs had to have some level of confidence, A, to not cut him. And if you also remember that year, they agreed to a long-term extension. That didn't just pop up overnight. I think they were talking about it. They were waiting to see once the dust settled, and then they reached a long-term extension. I think the Chiefs just reached for Mecole Hardman. I think they just reached for him. I get it. It was in the middle of everything that was happening, but there was never a scenario in which the Chiefs were going to outright release Tyreek Hill. They were going to hold him and hold him and hold him, and ultimately it ended up working out for Kansas City. I guess you could argue it ended up working out for Tyreek Hill as well. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Yesterday, we saw a Hall of Famer at work. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Denny Matthews of the Royals. I want to read something to you guys here really quickly just to show you how quickly things change in the NFL draft and how 1 year out, for the most part, we don't know anything. So someone just pulled this up. A year ago today, you could find the odds for the NFL draft on DraftKings. The number one overall pick they had at Shedeur Sanders, it was plus 100 for Shedeur. We are now debating on whether or not Shedeur is even going to be a first-round pick or not, even though I think he will be. Carson Beck, plus 300. He's still in college. He's the quarterback now at Miami. Quinn Ewers was plus 300 to be the number one overall pick. Quinn Ewers is not going to go in the first three rounds of this year's NFL draft. Drew Aller was plus 850. He's back at Penn State. Jalen Milroe, plus 950 to be the number one overall pick if you had done this a year ago. Jackson Dart was plus 1200. You could have got Cam Ward a year ago to be the number one overall pick at plus 1500. He's now hands down going to be the number one overall pick. It just goes to show you how quickly things change in the draft. Shadour for the number one overall pick was always just very, very ridiculous. Carson Beck, I've never seen what they want me to see with Carson Beck. At no point have I seen that he's that kind of guy. Now, there was a time that I thought Quinn Ewers was probably going to be the number one overall pick, and if you had told me to bet last year, I would have bet on Quinn Ewers. I was wrong. I thought he was ready to take that next step and was going to be the best quarterback in college football. I'm not even sure if he was the best quarterback on his own team last season. So we'll see how this plays itself out. But a year ago, someone posted the odds, and that's what you could have got if you had looked ahead and tried to bet on the NFL draft. We got Denny Matthews coming up at the top of the hour. Always great to catch up with the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. All right. Without further ado, I need my NBA minute tonight. There was such high-level basketball being played yesterday in Denver, Colorado, between the Clippers and the Nuggets. I know some of you have kids that are in junior high. Some of you have kids that are in high school that play basketball. What I want you to do today is I want you to go pick them up from school right now. I don't care. Oh, they got off at 3:30. Go pick them up from school right now. You don't want to hear about their day. I want you to pull up YouTube on your phone, and I want you to show them the Kawhi Leonard highlights from last night. Because these kids think that you got to have some dribble bag and dribble package. You know what Kawhi Leonard is? The best in the NBA at doing? I'm going to get to my spot on the floor. I'm going to shoot it, and you cannot guard me. When he's playing like how he was yesterday, he's one of the five best players in the NBA. And it is unfortunate that injuries have taken so much greatness away from us with Kawhi Leonard. But yesterday was a friendly reminder of how good he is when he is healthy. He was amazing last night. That's on one side of it. You guys want to talk about that brick that Christian Brown threw up yesterday? Because Christian Brown had a chance to help the Nuggets go up 2-0, wide open, had a chance to be a hero. He looked like Carlton in that episode of Fresh Prince. Michael Porter even played kind of well yesterday. He looked like he wanted to be there and rebounded a little bit. A very, very fun series between the Clippers and the Nuggets. I think that's the best series so far in round one. Another thing, and I know I may be going longer than my NBA minute, why do we never talk about the NBA ratings when they're positive? There was a smear campaign toward the NBA in January and February. You guys remember it? We were talking about the NBA like it was on the brink of bankruptcy, like it was going to end. It was the number one story in sports. The playoff ratings are up 17% to start. I even go on ESPN. It's not even on the side headlines. Why do we do this with the NBA? It doesn't make any sense to me. It has been a great start to the NBA playoffs, and I am excited for it to continue. That is my NBA minute for tonight.
Maybe this is me using NFL and football logic and holding it against Kawhi because the NBA and NFL are very different sports. I acknowledge that.
You're about to start hating. I feel it coming.
When he's healthy, he's great. But isn't your best ability availability? And he's got marginal availability. Do we think he's having another game? Like, what do we think more is likely? He misses a game this series or does that again? Because I would bet if you head over to FanDuel, if they would actually take bets on this, he's minus 105 to miss a game this series due to injury.
That's hate.
And he's plus 260 to have that sort of night again.
That's hate.
Because that's the story of Kawhi. And you're right. He'll go into the Hall of Fame, which... good for him.
I mean, he's one of the. I mean, he was one of the NBA 75. He's one
I mean,
of the.
Goes he's in, the NBA Hall of Fame is.
No, I'm
gets
saying
in.
Is he was on the NBA 75.
I know he's
when Kawhi
in.
Leonard is healthy, he's one of the greatest basketball players we have ever seen.
But that's the thing; he's never healthy.
That's true. I can't argue that.
I feel
at least not with the Clippers. He's never been healthy.
I feel like maybe he's not a what if because he has a title and he's in the NBA 75. That's not fair to call him a what if, but he's got some what if energy. Because if he was healthy, if his body held up like LeBron, and man, that's an extreme standard, we would talk about him very, very differently. But the fact that I know it's hate, the fact that I can confidently say, I don't know he's going to play every game this series because of his health, and you really can't push back, is a sign of the problem with Kawhi.
You know what? I am going to push back. Did you know that Kawhi has only missed 5 games since Valentine's Day? Now, he was not healthy the first part of the season, like, at all. Like, didn't play in October, November, December. Since he's come back, he has been mostly healthy for the Clippers.
I mean, half a season, whoop-de-woo.
Nope.
That half he missed does count. Like, I get what you're saying. He's been healthy since Valentine's Day, and that's impressive because it's a string we've never seen before. But the games in October, November, December, as much as we don't watch them, we don't care about them, they do count. So when we look at his basketball reference page in 5 years, it's not going to show February 14th to April 22nd, played tons of games. It's going to say DNP, October, November, December.
And all of that is fair. He is playing in this series, though. And I think that's going to be enough to get the Nuggets out of here. I do. I picked the Clippers at the beginning of the series. And yesterday, I'm telling you, Kawhi was amazing yesterday. He shot 80% from the floor. He had 40 points yesterday. He only had one turnover. I mean, he was incredible yesterday. It was just a reminder that I'm really good at this, and you guys shouldn't forget that I'm really good at this. So far, through the first 2 games of this series, he has been the best player in it. And I would not have guessed that, especially when I think the actual best player in the world is on the other team playing for the Denver Nuggets. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice for the Kansas City Royals. The only thought that I have about the Rockies is that they're bad. I don't have any other thought about the Colorado Rockies. Now, some of you kind of speak in internet, so you'll get this. It was like a circle graph chart meme thing. And it was circle all the teams that have had a winning streak this year. Circle the team that has not had a winning streak this year. There were 29 teams in one circle. There was only one team in the other circle. Every team in Major League Baseball has won back-to-back games so far this season, except one. Except one. Take a guess who that team is. It's the team that the Royals are playing this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. I am not saying that the Royals have to sweep the Rockies. I think that is unrealistic. But if there is one thing that I know about this version of the Royals, and I will date this version back to last season, is they pummel bad teams. They are playing a bad team coming up to Kauffman Stadium. I don't want to hear anything. No excuse. Oh, no, none of that. Especially when you got Bubich and Reagans both pitching in this series, and those have been your two best pitchers so far to start this season. There is absolutely no excuse. There is no reason. There is nothing you can tell me that would justify the Royals losing a series to this Rockies team. So beat them. We can deal with bigger fish once we get past Thursday. Once we get to Friday, when Houston comes into town and you got Tampa Bay right around the corner and the Boston Red Sox, sure, we can start to have those conversations. We will not have too many conversations about the Colorado Rockies because they are quite literally the worst team in baseball. And the baseball gods have given you a gift. You should win 2 of these next 3 days, and it would be great if you could win all 3 of these games with a chance to be at or above 500 by the end of this week, and you can make up the damage that you just had this past week where you only won 1 game. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. That's coming up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8-ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.